Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table in PRF world as Mama. Mama, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you, and thank you for asking. And I would just like to give a shout-out at my PRF family. I am just joyful this evening that we can meet here together one more time. And I am so appreciative of the PRF table host. We're all appreciative of you sharing your time with us this evening. So with that being said, I turn it back over to Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, Jr. Thank you.
Amen, amen. We love you, Mama. So listen, we are in our third installment, if you will, for this month's series. And if you've been with us over the last 2 weeks, you know it has been fire. We're talking from the theme of prepare for prosperity or poverty. Prepare for prosperity or poverty. And if you've been with us, you know that we've come out of the book of Genesis, chapter 6, where Noah was screaming from the grave this: what will you do after the day after tomorrow? And then if you've been with us over these last previous 2 weeks, then you know that we also heard Jeremiah screaming out of the 29th chapter from the grave, what will you do the day after tomorrow? If you've been with us over these last couple of weeks, you know we talked about this movie that is called The Day After Tomorrow. And so now I have to say that if you didn't catch those shows, Mom, if they didn't catch those, then go on to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, PRF table, possessions, resources, and finances, PRF table. Go listen to those other two shows. I'm confident, everybody here is confident, that it will bless you, because God needs his people to get prepared. And I kind of messed up, Mama, because God don't need you to do nothing, and that's how we're going to deal with tonight.
Okay.
Because, see, some folk think that God need us to do certain things. Well, let me just tell you something about being prepared, preparing for prosperity or poverty. Jack, it's up to you. So tonight, we're operating on a sub-theme, Mama, which is Jesus's responses to you or to y'all being prepared or not. Jesus' response is to you or y'all being prepared or not. See, Jesus is going to respond one way or the other according to Scripture. So let's get into it. Let's get into it.
Okay.
I want to start off tonight, Mama, and just bring something to light that everybody may not be aware of, but I was at an event on Sunday in Colombia. You know, I serve out in Colombia with an organization, and I was sitting next to this brother by the name of Clyde, and Clyde is from the Charleston area. That's where he lives, retired Navy brother, and he lives down in the Charleston area. And I said, hey man, you know, how did y'all fare? Because this was right after Irma, then, you know, had people evacuating and messed up some folks' livelihood, right? And here's what this brother says to me. He says, you know, he said, we keep getting warning after warning. He said, folk kind of going to start looking at me crazy, but I'm about to get some materials so that I can board up. He said, eventually luck runs out. Now, he may not be the most spiritual person by saying that luck runs out, but at the same time, we understand. I'm not going to say he's not spiritual at all. He made that statement, so that's why I repeated it. But what he was really saying is this thing has happened to us. Remember, this is not the first time it hit South Carolina. right?
Yes.
Over the last couple of years, I believe last year or maybe 2 years ago, I know a brother, a bishop that's in Columbia as well. And I remember seeing the pictures of his apartment, and he was not on the bottom floor. And I see the top of the backs of his furniture because the water just came all the way through. I can't remember. As a matter of fact, we've had some situations in our communities, Mama.
Yes.
And so all that Clyde was saying was, I'm going to be getting this. I'm going to be getting this. I'm going to get myself prepared. And here's what I love about it. He said this because he's the head of that household.
Yeah.
So as a man, even more particular, it is very necessary that we as men make sure we do everything to make sure those within our households are prepared. I don't think nobody would disagree with me on that.
No.
So let's recap a little bit, Mama. Let's recap.
Okay.
So we had Hurricane, those of y'all who don't know, I was down in Florida, Miami particularly, for a couple of weeks, just getting away and letting God speak to me. And I'm glad he spoke when he spoke, because I got on a plane before Irma came. But while I was down there, I'm dealing with communicating with pastors in Houston because Harvey had already hit.
Yes.
So now you got Houston. You also had Irma that affected Florida and Georgia and South Carolina. And then now, if I'm not mistaken, Hurricane Maria done just wrecked shop in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Puerto Rico is part of the United States. So there was really not too much that they could do for that, Mama. You got to understand, when you're in certain places,
yes,
in this hurricane season, you can board up, but everybody doesn't have the infrastructure to withstand certain things. Oh, but my God, I hope people caught that. They don't have the infrastructure mentally, spiritually, physically to withstand certain things.
Yes.
So when
yes.
the waves come, when the water comes, when the wind comes, it just wrecks all hell in their life.
Yes.
And there's nothing they can do. And so why do we speak so much about community within, not just on the PRF table, y'all know that's just one component of the ministry, but in our learning sessions and in our conference, why do we speak so much about community for times such as this?
Yes.
Because now that God has allowed, some folk don't even want to hear this, Mama, but God has allowed these things to happen, then we have to be mature enough as believers to be able to say, okay, how do we respond to this? So, again, we're talking – oh, let me go back. Do you remember Sister Ernestine? She's on our team in Albany, right? Do you remember what happened in January?
Yes.
They had two tornadoes to touch down within a week or so. The first one, I believe, was around January 6th. The other one was around the 21st. Albany, Georgia is not on the coast. The first time the first tornado hit, Mama, they didn't have any deaths. If they did, it was, and I don't say this to be insensitive, but it was only one if they had any. But I really don't believe there was any at that time. But the next one, God, when it came on the 21st, that joker took 19 lives and out of that community. 19. So the question becomes, what are you preparing for? All of us who call ourselves leaders, who wear collars, all of us who people look up to, who lead other folks, what have we done to prepare? I got an article today, or a magazine. Some of you may have known one of the schools that I've been fortunate enough to be an alumni from is Columbus State University in Columbus, Georgia. And I got this magazine, our alumni magazine today, and I looked at it, and there's two sisters on the cover. And on the front cover it says, CSU Career Matchmakers, Enterprising Programs, People, and Plans to Develop Workforce-Ready Alumni. And so I looked at it, I said, let me see what that article is talking about, because it mentioned plans and knowing we were going to be talking about preparing for prosperity or poverty on tonight's show. We're dealing with this all month. Let me read to you a little bit something from this article. A simple business card exchange led to a rather unexpected mentorship opportunity for current CSU student Dominique, and I'm not going to butcher her last name, Dominique O. This business finance major meandered through a crowd of professional network participants at one of CSU's alumni events and bumped into alumni or alumnae Summer Bundy, who also serves as the president of the CSU Alumni Association. She's also a learning part business partner with the banking company Synovus in Columbus, Georgia. Let me read something else. Here's what Sister O said, Dominique. She said, I followed up with her via email for breakfast. And the next thing I knew, I'm meeting influential people in the community. And I'm working on projects and productions for organizations I would have never had the opportunity to do if Summer wouldn't have trusted me to take on the challenge. There's a lot in that, Mama, and I don't know if I can get it all out.
Mm, yeah.
But here's the number one thing that grabbed me from that statement that she made. She followed up with her. See, listen, I carry business cards. I don't even like giving them out a lot of times because most of the time jokers ain't calling anyway. They just want the card. Look, don't even take it. I'd rather give it to somebody that's going to use it, but that's part of the world we live in, right?
Yes, she followed up
with her. See, I'm like this. If you get one of my business cards, that means God has given something to me that can definitely bless you. But if you never follow up with me, then you can't receive the blessing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come looking for you to give you what God has given me to you. Sometimes you got to say, let me take the initiative.
Yeah.
As we talk about preparing for prosperity or poverty, then there has to be some follow-up. Let me tell you what I continue to put out there, and I'll put it out there until the cows come home. So many people have been talking ever since Hurricane Harvey and everything that's followed after that. They've been talking about restoring people, restoration, restoring Houston, restoring Louisiana, restoring Puerto Rico, restoring that other island that Irma ripped through, and 95% of that island, it begins with a B, sounds like Bermuda or Bermuda, something like that. 95% of that island is gone. Listen, I need you to hear what I'm saying, and I need you to see what I'm saying as well, like Rebecca. 95% of the island is gone. It is a reminder of what Homestead, Florida looked like back in 92 when Hurricane Andrew just totally wrecked shop. So watch this. How many times is God going to allow certain things to happen in all of our lives before we decide collectively and individually to be able to say, you know what, I got a plan and do something different? When is that spirit going to come upon the body of Christ, the believers, your church, my church, the church down the street, one with 3 members, the one with 300 members, the one with 10,000 members? Say, we got to be preparing better than what we are. I'm not going to put anybody down because some of what we talk about on the PR table, Mama, you know, folk ain't never heard it before.
That's true.
But tonight, well, let me go back. Here's another thing. We're talking about preparing, being prepared, right? Prepare for prosperity or poverty. One of the things that Dominique said, not Dominique, but Summer, the alumni president, you know what she said? When Dominique first showed up to the meeting, she had a lot of questions, good questions. She had a notebook and a pen. I'm about to wreck some of y'all Bible studies right now.
Mm.
Listen. You call yourself going to Bible study, but you ain't got nothing to write with. You call yourself going to Bible study, you don't even have a Bible. I'm going to flip this thing. Hold on now. You call yourself conducting Bible study, but ain't got a handout the first. You call yourself having Bible study, but you're saying stuff off the top of your head without any substantial facts or data to back up what you're saying. So there's some planning that needs to be done from our leadership side, religious leaders, and there's some planning that needs to be done from the people who we're leading or who are being led by us in our various capacities as leaders. What Summer said was this. That told me that she was prepared. Listen, there are some of y'all that have missed some doggone opportunities. Because you wasn't prepared. I've told the members on our team, I said, listen, I need everybody to operate by your gift, your calling. Operate in the area that God has called you in. I don't need you. Look, I don't, just because you're good at numbers don't mean you need to be the treasurer. Just because you work in an administrative position at your job don't mean you need to be the administrator in the PRF Institute. No, because that's your job. That doesn't recognize, that does not say anything about what your calling is. So I need folk operating where God has called them to operate, because then you'll have a better understanding and appreciation for what needs to happen. I said, listen, I talked to one of the team members today. I talked to Will today, Mom, and I said this. I said, matter of fact, I talked to him 2 days ago. And then I talked to Ernestine, another one of the team members, yesterday. And I told both of them, I said, yeah, that information I asked you for, I still haven't gotten it. And I was telling Will this. I said, listen, when I ask y'all for information, right, I'm asking for it by a certain day, not because I need it that next day. I said, I'm asking you for it so that when I get to it, I have the information. I said, because sometimes while y'all sleep, I'm up working at 11:30 at night. God may get me up at 5 o'clock while you still sleeping. I may be working on something at 7:30 while you at your regular job, because I'm not in that type of capacity. So I'm serving. This is what I'm doing. So I'm doing something at 7:30 in the morning while you driving to work, and you don't have an opportunity to go pull something out of your email or send me a resume or a document that I've asked you for. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be prepared. Because, listen, I had a conversation with, I'll share this. Lady Mitz had a meeting with me last week, Mama. Last week, yeah. I believe it was Friday. And this lady from this company, she said she wants to give us $3 million. Don't get all happy, Mama. Don't get all happy. Don't get all happy. So she wanted to give us $3 million. But here's what she wanted to do. She wanted to give us $3 million, give me $3 million. She wants me to go out and get look at the, and start working to get the land so that we can build a church from the ground up. Now, what I had to politely tell her was God did not call me to be a pastor, not in this season, not in this time. So I'm not going to build a church for me and be anybody's pastor. But all of these conferences, you know, with $3 million, we could be doing conferences all around the country more than we're doing right now. Instead of doing three in the summer, we can be doing four within a month or three within a month, every month.
Yeah.
So if she wants to bless us, then that's how she can bless us. But the reality is there's some things that if she had, she don't have the money right now. That's why I said, don't get excited, Mama. providing she gets the money and follows through with what she says, that means there's going to be some things that she's going to need from us. Well, here's what I'm having what I'm bringing forth in the conversation with this lady. I said, listen, tell me what I need to be doing now. See, I don't need you to call me on October the 25th saying we got the money. I need you to get me something by Friday. See, that's not good business. We don't operate like that. However, if I'm trying to prepare right now, see, I'm preparing for the prosperity with this ministry, right? So I'm trying to prepare right now, because if she does do that, then I just need to know what I need, because, see, things that I have in place right now may not be the things that she's looking for.
Right.
And so if I don't have what she's looking for, then now that could be a missed opportunity. Well, that's just an example that I can give you about PRF, but what about other folks, the rest of y'all that's listening in your own individual lives? What have you done to prepare for prosperity? What have you done to prepare for poverty? So, again, tonight's, this is where we're going to be. Jesus' response to you or y'all being prepared. So listen, if you are listening with us, you know, heard me go on for about the last 15 minutes and you want to jump into this conversation, which I really hope that you will, especially all of those other hosts and guests that have been here before, 347-215-7934. Press 1 on your phone. We'll see you light up on the switchboard and we'll bring you into this conversation. So I'm done with Ms. Dominique and Ms. Summer.
Okay.
So now let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. If you looked on Facebook or you looked on prfministry.org, our website, and you'll see the flyer, one of the things that I have on that flyer is a picture. And I know everybody's not on Facebook or social media, but it's a picture. And it's a picture of a painting of somebody's version of Christ, and I have to say that so nobody talks about the black and white Jesus thing with me. Not tonight. We're not going there. And what you see is Jesus, or a portrayal of Jesus, behind a wall with a door. And next to Jesus, behind the wall, behind the door, are five women, five virgins. Some of y'all already know where I'm going. But then on the other side of the wall, on the other side of the door, there's five other women. Now, here's what's interesting. The five on the inside and the five on, quote unquote, the outside, they all look the same. This is also something that you can say is an example of what the church looks like today. There are so many people that look the same because we're lifting up holy hands, because we're praising and worshiping God, but you got folks on the outside as well as folk on the inside. You got folk that are dealing with stuff that's on the inside, the same as folk that are dealing with the same issues on the outside. So we need to be preparing so that we can make sure that we are exhibiting something that doesn't look like the outside. I say that, Mama, not to say that I am any better than you, because I believe in Jesus Christ. I just believe that if Jesus called, if we hear that trumpet sound, do you hear that loud sound? It sounds like that thunder, ka-ka! And then next thing you know, you hear silence on the other end of this line. Maybe you didn't make it, because Brother Dunlap has been caught up with the first wave.
Amen.
That's my belief. But it goes beyond that, because Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, 10b, to be more specific, he says, "I come to give life and give life more abundantly." And so what we constantly put out there to everybody, Mama, is, listen, this walk, this journey, is not just so that you can just live in poverty and live impoverished and live in a way that doesn't draw anybody to Christ, to be able to have the same opportunity and the same benefit of living with God our Father, our Creator in heaven, and just be, you know, I tell people, think about that worship experience that you had, that you was like, man, that thing was showing up good. Well, now I want you to think about that, like, amplified by like 100. That's what, you know, you can't even really figure that out. You're like, you know, all I know is that thing was good last Sunday. They did that thing. But when we get to live in eternity with God our Father, Mama.
Yes.
You can't even your mind, our minds cannot even conceptualize the beauty and the power, you just can't even put it into words how great that's going to be. I ain't got to deal with folks saying no.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about nobody getting shot no more. It's the stuff that we ain't even going to have to deal with no more. So the way we're living down here, we want people to experience that right now don't have the opportunity to, first and foremost. However, at the same time, Mom, it's not an either or, but it's a both and. The same individuals that we know are already, quote unquote, saved, right, have already received Christ. We see them living in poverty, then we should be saying to ourselves, hold on, something ain't right. So what are we going to do to make sure that as many people as possible have an opportunity to experience what we believe? Because the reality is one of two things going to happen. And I'm going to go to our caller. So our caller calling in, Mama, from the last four of 2755. Welcome to the PRF table. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
We are well. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. This is Bishop Zimmerman. Thank you. I'm enjoying the broadcast, and I'm definitely am moved by this dialogue. And it's disheartening when I haven't seen the picture, but as you were describing it, the first thing I was thinking about was the foolish the 10 virgins. You had the ones that had the oil full in their lamps, and the ones that were half full. In their lamps, and they were standing outside. So, again, I haven't seen the picture, And it's disheartening because it just kind of reminded me a little bit of how sometimes that when we have the deficit, whether it's poverty or whether in the natural poverty or whether it's spiritual poverty, how sometimes that our job is to make sure that, you know, we all walk in abundance and we are submitted to one another, covering one another, bearing the burdens of one another. And we're supposed to, as much as possible, you know, just be there for one another as Christ was there for us. And
yes,
the church a lot of times have lost insight of that. And so we have to go back to the early Acts church, where no one was in lack. All had everything that they needed, you know. And so, you know, we have to get back to our true first love. And that's one of the critical elements that we, that I believe that we need to get back to that place, because I think we've lost insight of that, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And last night I was at a Bible study, and they were coming from the book of Ephesians, and I know everybody on my team is going to be fussing because they hear me running through pages as I get on them, so I apologize to the team. but one of the things that Paul said was he was saying something to them. Okay, verse 21 in chapter 4. But this is not what you have learned about from Christ. So he was talking about their minds being full of darkness and wandering away from God and having closed minds, and their hearts were hardened against God, and they just ain't had no shame. You know, folks doing stuff today that they ain't got no shame, like whatever, you know. And he says in verse 20, but that is not what you learned about Christ. Since mm-hmm. you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw away your old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Right. So here's the key. The key is what you've learned. And there are so many people that we have expected, I'm guilty of it, have expected, because they are perceived to be mature Christians because of how long they may have been in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the doctor and my wife is with me, so you just assume the doctor is going to be teaching his wife, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
or because you're the bishop, we assume those things. But what about the relationship with each other?
Right.
So sometimes we believe that the church should be doing certain things and people in the church should be doing certain things. And as I told them last night, how do I even know what you learned? People, Bishop, you understand this very well. People go in and out of churches all the time.
Right.
They're searching for things. So they come to your church. They're searching for things. And, you know, I'm going to put it out there. Some of them have financial problems. And so they're coming to your church hoping that not just to get money, but you know what? I need to find out how to live better than this. I'm giving my tithes and I'm still broke. Something wrong with that picture. And so they're like, you know what? Oh, this is a teaching church. And then you ain't teaching nothing about tithing.
Mm-hmm.
But everything you say,
right.
You just say, you know what? Or you throw the scripture out that God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, and then folks get frustrated, and then here they come going to mama church. And see, mama don't know you hurt. Mama don't know they hurting, and mama don't know that they got these issues with finances either. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They ain't not bad people. They love God, but they got issues. They're looking for help. So sometimes in a lot of places, there's so many things that have yet to be taught. And another thing, as I make my way back to the text for tonight, when we read the biblical accounts, oftentimes we're reading accounts of people that all came into something at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God didn't say what he said through Moses to 200,000 one day and then 100,000 the next. We all, y'all all getting this right now.
Right.
And it was a beautiful thing, because God said, when you get into the promised land, this is how I want you to live. That's one of the biggest challenges within the church. There's a group of people within all of, so many of our, I won't say all, so many of our churches today. And people think, leaders particularly think, that you can teach everybody the same thing, that everybody's supposed to come along. Uh-uh. Because while you up there and while I'm up there preaching about love, I ain't got an issue with love. I got an issue with money. So I'm just sitting there waiting for you to start talking about money so I can get these bills taken care of.
Right.
But then you never talk about it. You never teach about it. You never bring anybody else in to teach about it. And so I sit there. We got to do better at preparing.
Right.
And I say all of us. So it's funny, Bishop, that you mentioned this. You mentioned the 10 versions, and that is exactly the text that we're in tonight. Matthew chapter 25. And all we're going to do tonight is just run through Matthew 25. Not the whole thing, just through 13. So in the beginning it says, Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. Okay, so we stop there and we say, okay, well, and I'm going to take it as I take it, y'all. 5 were foolish, and 5 were wise. The first thing that Jesus did in this parable was identify who they were before he even said why they were like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand that there's some people that see all of us a certain way. When people look and they say, "Oh, Dr. Dunlap, he don't work a full time job and he's not retired. He don't get no regular check every week. Oh, he must got plenty of money." People make determinations about us based upon what they see. Well, Bishop, you know, like I know, if they really want to have some of this mantle, come on.
Right. Exactly.
Come on. I saw a picture today where somebody put a friend of mine who's a division chaplain in the Army, Chaplain Shabazz in Fort Lewis, Washington, Fort Lewis Base McCord, Washington. It was a picture of a ballerina's feet. And you know ballerinas, they're on their toes, right, when they do whatever that's called. But one of them had the shoe on, the little shoe, you know, and the other one was in bare feet with a little brace or something around it. And it says they always want what you have until they really see what it takes for you to get there. And so the one foot, it was covered up, it had the shoe on it, but the other foot on the other side, it looked horrible. I said, good Lord. I remember one of our daughters did ballet when she was growing up as a young child. I said, good Lord, it was looking like this? People make determinations about what we look like based upon what we're dealing with and what we actually put out there. And God is saying, look, you're not going to be able to prepare properly for prosperity or prepare properly for poverty because you either miss some opportunities or you'll stay in a certain place. Because some people that see you in a certain place and don't believe that you're living in poverty won't even come to help you or think that because they think you got it all together.
That's true.
True.
So we know that Jesus already identified some of y'all fools and some of y'all wise. I don't need to tell anybody that they're foolish or that they're wise. You need to evaluate yourself. Evaluate yourself and say, okay, where am I headed? Am I headed for prosperity or am I headed for poverty? And the sad part is if you can't see that, then that means you're not working on a plan. And when you're not working on a plan, I guarantee you that plan is not just going to happen to take you to prosperity. The place that is more likely to take you is to poverty. So Jesus said, 5 of them who were foolish, they didn't take enough oil for their lamps. But the other 5 who were wise, they took extra oil. Now, here's where sometimes people can get a little bit off track with this text. It wasn't that the 5, you know, sometimes folks like to go right to the end of the scripture, Bishop. It wasn't that the 5 didn't have anything. They just didn't have enough.
Right.
Everybody had oil. Some of them did not have enough. Now, think about this. Jesus said, I come to give life and give life more abundantly. In order to be to receive that he came to give life more abundantly, then that means you already got to have an abundant life. You can't get more of something unless you have that first thing in the first place. So by virtue of us being believers, our life should already be abundant. Now, abundant doesn't mean rich in the natural sense. It means that when situations are going on, then you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. That means when certain things are coming up in your life that you have the faith the size of a mustard seed. That you're not just looking at the doggone mountain, that you're speaking to that joker. That you just don't get wrapped around the axle when you hear something that sounds like, I said, Mama, don't get all excited about this $3 million. Mm-mm. You get excited when I get a check. You praise God right now for it, but you get excited when we get a check.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you get really excited, right?
Yeah, yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So these five virgins, Mama, they did not, again, it wasn't that they didn't have anything. They just didn't have enough. Well, let's talk about people today. A lot of times I hear when I go to talk to pastors about PRF and other leaders, bishops and everything else, I listen a lot of times to all of these presumptions about why people are in the situation that they're in. But they never have asked the people, why are they that way? Pastors, a lot of times, Mama, they look at what's coming into the church and they assume.
Yes.
I'm going to ask y'all to mute your phones until you get ready to speak so I can clear some of the background noise if y'all don't mind. Amen. I sound like I'm screaming. I'm trying not to be too excited right now, Mama. But they make all these statements about why people are in the situation, but you ain't never asked them. So I want to encourage everybody, all of us in leadership positions, they realize that people are coming to wherever we're worshiping, wherever we're teaching them. They're coming to these places with something. They just may not have enough. And because they don't have enough, we can't be the ones that automatically put them in a place of calling them foolish because they don't have enough. Here's another part of the reality. Has anybody, and Mama Bishop, please jump in. Think about this. Before we get to the rest of the text, let's ask the question, is there a reason why they didn't have enough? See, there's that assumption again that they didn't have enough because they just wanted to be foolish. Nah, we can't take, we don't need to go there. Let's ask the question. Let's ask the question of the people of why they are in the situations. This is one of the things that we do with PRF. We don't just go in talking about what we want to talk about when we go into other churches. If you're not going to allow me to do an assessment of the people, then how are we really knowing what we're coming there to do? We got 7 lessons within the PRF Teaching Institute, PRF Teaching Ministry or Institute. How in the world do I know what y'all need if I don't even have the common sense to be able to ask what's going on with you? And so that's why we do assessments, but that doesn't happen a lot of places. So now we see that they have these 5, and y'all jump in whenever y'all want to. Y'all know how we do it here at the PRF table. So now it says that when the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and fell asleep. But then at midnight, they was aroused by a shout. And somebody said, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him. Mama, Bishop, whoever else,
yeah.
We got to deal with this right here. Understand the symbolic nature. First of all, this is a parable. But understand the symbolic nature of at midnight, they were woken. They were awoken by a loud shout. The text gives us midnight. But when you're sleeping, listen to this, y'all. When you're sleeping, think about it. If you go to, when you go to bed tonight, if you hear a loud bang on your front door in the middle of the night, the first thing that you're not going to do is say, oh, it's 12:45 p.m. or a.m. You have no idea what time it is. So we don't need to focus so much on the fact that it was midnight. Let's focus on the fact that when it happened, it startled people. It came at a time that they didn't know, because there was no warning, Mama, that midnight this was going to happen. But now, as the situation is right there upon them, they didn't have no time to prepare once this loud shout came out, look, the bridegroom is coming. The bridesmaids that got up, they got up and they prepared their lamps. The five foolish ones, now listen, they asked the other ones, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Lord have mercy, help me. Please give me some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Oh, my God, we have to be so very careful at this point right here, because at this point is where your true Christianity is really going to show up. See, there's some people that, listen, there are some people that don't have enough oil. They didn't bring an extra oil because they didn't have it in the first place. So if you automatically think the ones who are with you, they don't have enough because they just squandered their money away. Lord have mercy on your soul. Because if we keep going on in this same chapter, Jesus said, he does say very clearly, what you do to the least of these, you also do unto me. As we're dealing with people in today's society, right now, what's going on in so many different cities, everybody just doesn't have it. And everybody is not in their situations just because they're being lazy, because they want government assistance, because they want to work at a minimum wage job, because they chose to have four children out of wedlock, because they chose to be a crackhead or a meth head. You got to understand why people are going through what they're going through if you're really going to minister to them. When Jesus encountered the woman at the well, he knew what was going on with her. You already had five of them jokers, and the one you got now ain't your own. You got somebody else, man, right now. Now, that's Jesus. Jesus knew, but we're not Jesus. We have to ask questions. And so if we don't ask questions, we don't get anything to be able to deal with discernment in the spirit. And we'll make our own judgments based upon our own experiences. So, please give us some of your oil, because ours are going out. Be very careful, y'all, about just saying no because somebody else doesn't have what you have. See, what the text doesn't tell us, y'all, is this. The text doesn't tell us if the five who had the extra because they were privileged. See, the five doesn't tell us, the text doesn't tell us that the ones who had the extra was because their fathers were wealthy enough in society that they didn't have to worry about this. So on the flip side, you got to be careful about looking at folk who look like they got stuff because you don't know where they got it from. Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. Oh, my goodness. You have to know that when a person takes the time to prepare, they're preparing for their situation. The preparations that I make if I have a child and that child is a baby, and I start preparing for saving for college by putting away $100 a month so that when they get to close to graduating from high school, that I don't have to stress out about not having the money for college, or saying, you know what, My kid is a C student. Ain't no way in the world they going to get into such and such with them C's. Uh-oh, well, I didn't save up the money, so they're not going to be able to go to the best school, which is really a lie, too. But that mindset, right? Can we talk about this? Is it fair that I've been saving for my child's college education for the last 14 years, and every time I see you and what you got going on Facebook, I see you put it out there, right? You put your business out there about these trips, these Michael Kors pocketbooks, getting your hair done every week, going out to dinner all the time, all the stuff that you want to do with your money. But it ain't fair for you to say, you know what, my kid need us. My kid don't have the good grades, and we don't have the money for school, so we trying to raise money. Can you help us with $1,000, Brother Dunlap? Huh? Mama, help me, please. Folk think like this. They say, hold on.
Yeah.
Look, I'm 32, and you 32. We had our children around the same time. I didn't hang out as much as you because I was putting some of the money away. So is it fair for you to even try to put me in a guilt position because I won't take some money out of my kid's college fund to help put for your kid? And matter of fact, the way your kid play hooky, I ain't sure they even going to finish college. All of these things, listen, those of y'all who don't know, we've been doing this for 9 years. We hear all of the stories. These are the things that people think about. These are some of the mindsets that people have because of their experiences. So sometimes it's not just so much about people just pushing other folks away. It's because other folks have failed to plan properly. And because they failed to plan properly, they're the ones that head down that road of poverty versus the ones that's going down the roads for prosperity. I'm going to go ahead and drink a little bit of this water. Y'all know how I do, and we're going to let Pastor Mark join into the conversation because something that has been said has sparked him. Pastor Mark, good evening, sir.
Hey, how are you doing this evening? Dr. Dunlap,
we're doing good. We're doing
fine, thank you.
I won't say... As you read that parable, it also says that the bridegroom was delayed. So it goes back to what you just said before I came in, planning properly. It wasn't that they didn't plan. The bridegroom was delayed too. We don't know how long it may have been. The parable doesn't say it. We don't know how long it took. That journey could have been a day. We don't know. But the point that I'm making is that they prepared, but it was not enough in advance because the bridegroom was delayed. And it's the same thing with Christ, with us, when we go through things, and he's yet to come. My question
That's
is,
good.
Can you stand when you don't understand? Because it's no different than what we deal with in our Christian life, when we're expecting for God to move, and he doesn't move when we want him to move. But at the same time, you're prepared, but you feel like you're prepared, and you feel like your breakthrough should have already come. But can you stand when you don't understand? And so it wasn't that they was not prepared. The bridegroom was delayed. Like a lot of times, we feel like when Christ don't come or God don't come or answer when we want him to, he's delayed, but he's always on time. So I just reading the parable and listening to that, like I said, they were prepared, but they weren't prepared for the delay.
So watch this. Everything, good Lord have mercy. Right now we're in a delay. We are in a delay for everything right now. Watch this. Certain things that were brought before some people on today about fixing their credit, not fixing it like, you know, some of the legal stuff, but I need you to contact the credit reporting agencies. That person who gets that, can I give a true story? Let me give a true story. Here we go. Several months ago, there was a prominent professor that reached out to us to help with the credit. And one of the things when I sat down with this professor, I said to them, I said, listen, I said, I'm not a credit counselor. I'm not a credit repairman. That's not what we do. We give you biblical foundations and we roll with that to help you understand what the building of credit looks like from a biblical context and also from the rebuilding context. They didn't want to go through all that, so they just wanted me to help them. I got it. So I said, well, I'm gonna take what you're giving me. That's what I said to myself, y'all. I'm gonna take what you're giving me because we really need to be focusing on what the word is saying instead of just trying to get this quick fix. But what happened was I said, listen, here's a couple of things. They didn't have a cash flow problem at all. And I said, listen, here's what I need you to do. Here's the numbers. It's going to take less than 5 minutes each. Call these numbers up. Get physical copies of your credit reports. Once you get them in the mail, it may take 3 days or up to 14 days. But once you get them in the mail, give me a contact back. And I said, now, there's this other thing that's on your credit report regarding some type of tax lien. Call the number that's showing up right here because I went on online, annualcreditreport.com, and was able to look at some stuff. But I'm a hard copy guy. Y'all know that. They contacted the state tax lien office, and because they told me that was not supposed to be there. So I was like, oh, you can call that number up and you can get that strip kind of quick because they got to show you. The next day this person calls me, y'all. Professor calls me and said, Dr. Dunlap, guess what? Just so excited. I called them and they said that it was resolved and it shouldn't have been on there in the first place, and they're going to send me a letter and they're taking it off. But guess what the professor didn't do? The professor never contacted me when all three of the credit reports came in. Matter of fact, one never came in. But guess what happened? Talk about the delay, right? The delay was they had time to stay on top of that. She had time to stay on top of that. But then the next call that I got, this was back in March, and then I get a call back in, I think it was about June, right before we did the Legacy Conference. And guess what they said? Their car broke down. And so now they were in a position, Brother Mark, that they had to utilize credit to get a car because they didn't have the cash to buy a car. But in those months that went by, if she would have stayed on top of this as I instructed her, as the wisdom that God has given me to help folks in this area, then her credit rating would have been a little bit different because there would have been some things, because you got to give it 30 to 60 days for stuff to be corrected if it's not right. So when this person had to go out and get a loan, they couldn't get it from a regular bank, so they had to get it from some place that's going to charge them like 20% interest. See, this goes so in line with this parable. There was time in between when it was time for something to happen. Just like when it said that at midnight they were aroused or awakened by somebody screaming out the bridegroom is coming. Well, guess what? She was awakened by the car being inoperable. And then the thing that really hit her was, they got to drive 40 minutes to get to work every day. But guess what also happened? This happened not during the time when school was in session. This happened during a break. I think it was like the beginning of summer break. So they had another time of a delay to get some things in order. But the only thing they could do was go to somebody who would just give them a loan that was going to be higher than what they should have been paying for if they would have done the necessary steps. I'm gonna read a comment from Bishop Z. She says, the story of the bridegroom is like the old Jewish wedding process. The groom has to have a place with 1 year of wages prepared for he and his bride prior to marriage. He, when prepared, would come get his bride. The bridal party would be watchful while the bride rested, and when the bridegroom would be visible, they would notify the bride. She done went somewhere. I don't know if she knew where she was going, but listen. So if we're going to use this analogy of the wedding, this metaphor of the wedding, right? While people are going through stuff all around us, who the heck is watching? While we know certain people are experiencing some type of challenges in their finances or their possessions or their resources, who are the people that are around us that are on the lookout? You can't get church, oh Lord have mercy, you can't get churches to stand up to say, no, we don't want a liquor store in our community. You can't get churches to stand up to come together to say, you know what, we don't need another payday loan company in our community. So if you won't do it against what I would consider to be the adversary for the betterment and benefit of a community, maybe you ain't even going to do it within your own household of faith. She said the bridal party will be watchful. Brother Mark, I'm going to hit your area, brother. During a marriage ceremony, some folk don't realize that the people that are there observing are supposed to be those people that should be helping those couple, that man and that woman that are up there exchanging those vows when times get tough. Mm-hmm. If you get married and you just want to have 500 people because you're worried about the gifts, then you just got to understand that them folk ain't going to be there for you. I got invited to a wedding one time because they needed another seat because they didn't want the two of the seats to go away because of how much it costs for the food. Joker, y'all didn't invite me to the wedding before those two people that was on your list got canceled out. But I guarantee you they filled that seat. But how many of those individuals that are filling those seats can the husband or can the wife come to when they're having a problem? How many that was there at the wedding, when they see the husband out there doing something that the husband don't need to be doing, or the wife out there doing something that the wife doesn't need to be doing, pulling their coattail, sis, come on now, you better than this. Oh, my God, hold on, I'm about to smack somebody in the face with this one. Bishop, watch this. How many of us as clergy say stuff to other clergy, knowing that the things that they're doing is detrimental to the people, at the same time respecting their authority? You are the man or the woman of that house, but what you're doing is still wrong. I remember telling a pastor friend of mine that had a situation where one of the members became a widow, and the husband did not do what the husband needed to do before he passed away. But my pastor friend had this mindset, along with some of the other leaders, quote unquote, that they can't keep shelling out money for this widow. And so my pastor friend says, hey, Doc, man, I'm going to throw something at you. He said, you probably going to tell me. Now, see, everybody who know me, Brother Mark, they know that. You already know how I think. Oh, so yeah. If you already thinking it, you probably know I'm going to confirm it. He said, you probably going to say I'm wrong for this. And he told me, I said, yeah, you wrong for that, bro. I said, James 1:26, 1:27, you know me. It's kind of clear. True religion is taking care of the widows and orphans. There's a lot of other texts in the Bible that talk about widows. So doggone, if you ain't going to take care of the widow, ain't no way in the heck you going to take care of me. Ain't no way in the world you going to look after my wife if I got to go away on a mission for 3 months. Make sure that she ain't sitting up in here depressed because I'm gone or on a deployment with the military. Jesus, we got to be watching for our brothers and our sisters. But I go back to the text. If it's all about what you got in your oil and your lamp, and you don't even have the mind or the spirit to share any of your oil, then you have missed the great commandment of Jesus Christ. And you probably just need to stop saying that you're a Christian. Just stop saying it. You know, you can't take it away from you, but you just need to stop saying it because you're making God look bad. And the rest of us is trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If that's your heart, if you haven't grown to that place of maturity in Christ yet, or if you're doing like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, you just refusing to do the right doggone thing. You acting like you ain't even saved. You acting like them old Gentiles. I digress. So they said, we don't have enough. Let me share something else with you, Lord. He's giving it to us tonight, bro. Don't you dare, from this point on, God is giving you some reprieve. Listen to me, y'all. Get this out of your mind, your spirit, and off the front of your lips. Don't dare ever say to another person that you don't have it when you do. Y'all know I'm from Philly. It is very common to have individuals who are homeless, who have other type of problems, that beg for money, that ask for money, and it is not uncommon to have somebody asking you or begging something from you every day. And so growing up, we start to become callous to the person who is standing outside the liquor store or in front of the grocery store, mama.
Yeah.
Because you see those people all the time, so you grow callous to, here come June. I got to walk past June, but, man, don't even say nothing to me.
I know.
Hey, bro, June, man, get out of my face. That's real, because I'm just being real with y'all. But then you can easily develop it. I ain't got it. Hey, man, I can't help you. You can't or you won't. I don't know
where
I'm pointing at right now. I can't or I won't. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Brother Mark, somebody got me bubbling up. So this is not about me, right? So I'm going to put that out there as a disclaimer. So with the book, I asked a few pastors last week. I said, is your church in position to donate $240 or $120 to the PRF ministry, 501c3, so that I can bless y'all, or we can bless y'all with 20 books or 10 books, right? $12.95 apiece. One of them said, now I said, are you, is your church, or are you in a position? Is the church in a position, or are you in a position as a pastor, right?
Mm-hmm.
The response I got from one Brother Mark was, the church isn't, and I'm not either.
Mm.
All right. I said, well, what about five? Question mark.
Mm.
I said, if you're not able to do it, would giving them to you free? See, this. Listen, I had to say to somebody, I said, this is about spirit. This ain't about sales. The book sells itself. But this is about spirit. What is the spirit going to do through the book? I said, would it be okay if I just gave them to you, if that'll help? So now they say, oh, they're not in a financial situation. Well, hold on. You just told me that you wasn't in a situation. They must not believe Acts chapter 5, bruh.
Mm.
See, when some jokers, see, I'm going back to this thing about we don't have enough. You ain't, that person, that pastor wasn't grieving me. I shook my head when I'm reading this, but the number one entity that was grieved was the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Because it's a clear lie because you said it. I didn't ask for it. You could have just said, they could have just said no. Can I tell you this? And y'all know me. I'm not going to call nobody out by name. How about the other thing that they said was, it's not that we're in the financial position. I just don't want to spend the money right now.
Mm.
I said,
okay.
I said, okay. I had to compose myself as I'm reading this. And then the next part of the text said, I just don't feel there's a need. As many folk that are dying in your community and as many folk that we keep seeing the GoFundMe accounts, and the many folk that they don't, that pastor has no idea if they got insurance or not. You don't see a need. Bishop Zimmerman, that goes with the authority and anointing that we were talking about during your show. Not recognizing the anointing. I don't have to be that. I don't have to be an associate pastor. I don't have to be the pastor of that church. God has given something for you. There's not a. It's a reason why God had me to reach out to who He had me to reach out to. But they done took the lob and done knocked it out the park. Back to God. Like the Tower of Babel. We're gonna hit this. Yeah, we gonna hit this ball back to heaven. So watch what's going to happen. You mark my words that there will be somebody either in that church or somebody connected to somebody in that church that's going to die and don't have their affairs in order. But here's the bad part about it. When the people come to the church and they say, we need help, the same lie they told to me, now it becomes easier to say that lie to somebody else. But because of shame, if I go back to Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 4, you operate like you ain't got no shame. Because until folks start dropping like Ananias and Sapphira, Joker's going to continue to keep lying about this money thing. I was going to give them the books for free. And you still don't want it because you scared? Come on now. But watch this. The people in that congregation, Bishop, have no idea the blessing that pastor turned away.
That was seed sown to be sown.
So now they become like the ones in verse 10 of the text. While they were gone, the bridegroom comes. They're going about their merry way. They're doing what they thought they needed to do, but they weren't in the right position when the time actually came. The Bible is clear. Jesus' word, if you're reading it, they in red, y'all. They in red. That means it's Jesus' words. Then those who were ready went in with him into the marriage feast. And the part that I want folks to hold on to, I want the Spirit to convict so many people right now, Brother Mark, it wasn't that they went into the feast, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part that gets me. And the door was locked. Joke, it's a wrap.
Yep.
You ain't getting in. So now... Somebody's blowing me up. I can't get to him right now. The door was locked. Now, we understand that God is able to open up any door, even if he decides to close it. But let's look at our God. Later, when the other five bridegrooms returned, it said later. So what was going on before the later? The ones who was on the inside was enjoying the feast. They're enjoying the feast. So you got a whole bunch of people that have taken the time to prepare for their prosperity. And this is what they're doing. Go back to the picture. Look at it on Facebook or on the website. They're looking at the ones on the outside. Here's the sad part. The ones on the outside, when they came back, they're crying out to God. The Bible makes it real clear. Jesus' word said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And Jesus said, trust me, I don't know you. See, that ain't convicting some folk right now. But Lord, I pray that it does. Because the truth of the matter is, so many people, Bishop, have said this, and you may have said it, I may have said it, whatever, it doesn't matter. We may have said that God is a God of second chances, but can I tell you this? Them jokers only got for one. When the bridegroom came back, The bridegroom didn't go away and say, you know what, I'm going to let them come. I'm gonna let, they need about another 2 hours to go find some oil, so I'm going to come back again. Uh-uh. This thing is immediate. This thing is urgent. This thing is necessary. Because God does not always give second chances. So for folks to believe, you know what, I'm going to cry out to the Lord and he's going to open the door for us. I'm going to cry out to the Lord. I'm going to cry out to the Lord because folks have stood in the pulpits and on TV and gave folk, God have mercy. What has been put out there so much is fostering a spirit of procrastination. Just wait on the Lord. No, the Lord ain't saying, no, you can wait on the Lord all you want. They waiting outside the door, but they ain't getting in. And to hear the Lord to say, I don't know you. Let's look at the context of the culture. Virgins were pure. Pure. Because you know that that's the culture in which they lived. That was a very important thing. So what about us? With all our mess and our junk? We got a chance to be redeemed back to God, the Father who created us. Take that opportunity while you got it, Jack. Because I would hate to be in the middle of a sentence, then the whole bunch of y'all listening to me was like, where done that go? Oh, get ready. You got a whole lot of years to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. Because life ain't going to be the same. It's the same way with what we're dealing with today. Hurricane Harvey is a warning. Hurricane Irma was a warning. Hurricane Maria was a warning. And the reality is, here's the warning. They got an opportunity to get ready and prepared, which is why a lot of people were able to evacuate. Here's the sad part about this for some of y'all. Or people who we know we're, that's connected to us. When that trumpet sound, bruh, and that sky opens up, you can't evacuate. It's a wrap. You don't even have the opportunity at that time to say, Lord, mm-mm. So the way that's one part of our lifestyle that we have to deal with. But the other part of that is the things that are going on in the natural realm. The Lord desires for many of his people to be prepared. I think Bishop Z mentioned, Zimmerman mentioned about the early church, and she didn't know it, but Acts 2:42-47 is one of our foundational scriptures for this ministry. You know why they didn't, it wasn't an issue to give to somebody else? It's because the Spirit was involved. If the Spirit is involved, then there's some things that you don't even have to worry about. So let's look at what we got going on in our communities with homelessness. I'm done, y'all. With poverty in general, with persons that don't have anything to drink, persons that are in nursing homes or in hospitals that don't have anybody to come and visit them. Don't nobody want to hear that they got chaplains in hospitals. Chaplains ain't everybody the only person that God called to go visit the sick. Stop being using that as a scapegoat. Get out there and do what you're supposed to do. What about people that's imprisoned? I don't think I said it out loud, Brother Mark. I don't know if I can share it right now, but that there's a situation with an individual in prison. Mama, if you got some comments, please jump in there, Mama. But before you do that, Mark, did I send that to you by text or by email? I got to find it. I don't know where to look at it.
You sent it to me by text.
By text, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at Mama. Do you got anything that you want to say? This is...
Well, just like to make a statement to say, it's lots of things we don't know. So we're always learning.
Yes, ma'am.
But when we have the opportunity, when God opens up an opportunity for us to learn, then I think sometimes I could say people take for granted, because at that moment it's what's being taught is not that important. But it's really a gift, because the word says, get knowledge. If you do not know about, you know, how to do your credit, things of that nature, you just don't know. That's it.
Right, but that's not an excuse anymore. Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
And it's not an excuse for Okay.
No, okay, that's not where I'm going. What I'm saying is that, you know, he tells us to get knowledge. You know, he tells us to get wisdom. And he says, above all, get understanding. So for those of us that have been, you know, enjoying these shows, I think it's, as it's been said, this is serious business here. These storms that we are having is a warning, and it's preparation. It's time to prepare. Just period. We have to prepare. As you just was interjecting, there are no excuses. We must prepare. That's all I have to say.
And so I'll throw this, and thank you for clarifying. You know, sometimes I'm pulling up over here. You know what? This is what I want to leave people with. As I tell this last thing as we go. And go around the table for anybody else to bring their comments in. At the end of the text, it says he called back. Jesus called back. The Lord called back. The bridegroom called back. He said, trust me. I don't know you. And he says to the ones on the inside, so you too, well, not on the inside, but the disciples he was talking to. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day nor the hour of my return. Now we understand the spiritual nature of the parable, but remember Jesus put things into context, not just for a total spiritual understanding, but also for practical understanding. How do we know this? Because he didn't just say be healed. He did things of the physical that was involved in the healing process. So let me, oh my goodness, let me go. I'm trying to get to him. I'm trying to get it out, Mark. So I want y'all to listen to something. And after I do this, Bishop Zimmerman, if you have anything that you would like to say, we definitely want to open it up to you for any final comments. So you heard what I said about the book and blessing somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say this. There was a grandmother. Y'all know the book has been out 2.5 weeks, just 3 weeks right now. There was a grandmother that was met by somebody on the team. And this grandmother was offered the book. The grandmother purchased the book. The grandmother talked to these people that were on, talking about our team, people on our team, members of our team, PRF, and told them that she had a family member, grandson, that was in prison, but couldn't get a book into the prison. You know, they don't allow them to do that. So long story short, through some relationship, the book was taken and given to an official who made sure that the young person got the book. And so let me tell you what I received back as a feedback about the book. Hello, such and such. I am reading the book and I'm at the beginning of part two. But I want you to know that so far in part one, I look at my life like I really have to get my affairs in order. I mean, I have no kids, but I have a family. And I don't ever want them to go through things like this. Like, I'm already put them in hard situations by keep coming to jail, and I'm such and such age, 19, and been in jail several times. And it is time to get this affair in order. The book inspired me to do better, and that's just the beginning. I just asked for a chance. I really want to change my life, such and such. And I'm asking you if you can in any way help me to be a better person, a better follower of Christ, most of all, a better big brother. What steps can I take on the right road with God? I do pray at night, and I read my Bible every now and then, but I still can't figure out what I'm doing wrong. Can you please help me? Oh, my gosh. Whenever the Spirit of God is moving, then there always has to be a response. Whenever the Spirit of God moves, there is always going to be a response. That's a response from somebody physically imprisoned. But what about those individuals at that pastor's church that are financially imprisoned? And this young brother only read the first chapter of the book. Can you imagine what God is going to do and what God is going to reveal to him by the time he gets to the end of the book, Mark? The name of the book is Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. This brother is 19 years old and said, if you heard me, he said, I want to be a better follower of Christ and a big brother. I don't have any children, but I got family. If the Spirit of God can move on somebody through one chapter, can you imagine what it would do if you read the whole book?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there has been a pastor that has said, they don't need that. You don't know what those folk need, because you don't know everything about them. And that's the truth. My prayer for y'all tonight is this: that the Lord doesn't say, I don't know you. He doesn't say that in respects of when he comes back again as the bride that comes back for his church. But he also doesn't say that as he intercedes on our behalf to God the Father in heaven as he sits at the right hand. God, no, not Nate ain't serious, God. Don't even waste that one. Don't waste that blessing. Give it to Mark. Mark's serious about this thing. Lord, Nate ain't preparing. He on Facebook all day. Mark up there laying on his face talking about, Lord, help me. I need some help. Mark reading your word. This thing is serious. And if you don't realize, out of all the warnings that God has already put out there to us, and you think because the water is not likely to extend with 12 or 17 foot waves because you're so far inland, I just want you to think about Noah and go back and think about Genesis chapter 6. Because the Bible records that it covered the whole earth. So that means nobody was safe. As I said last week and the week before last, God really desires for all of us to be on the boat. Because it's not over. And I say that from a prophetic voice right now. It ain't over. I don't mean to, y'all know I'm not political at all. But we have a president that's poking the bear right now. If you haven't been paying attention, some of the bear that I'm talking about is North Korea. We got folks in South Korea, military and civilian. Stuff will get to South Korea before it gets to America, but it would impact the United States of America because those are our people. Let us be ever so mindful and careful about what's going on within our churches and within our communities. And I pray that leaders are not the ones that are on the outside when Jesus says, I don't know you. And standing out there with the same people that God has called y'all to lead, us to lead, because it's serious. Let us get it while we got time. As Brother Mark, as you said, brother, there's a delay right now. It's not raining where any of us, it's not raining where you live, Mark. It's not raining where I live right now. But how fast can things turn? Mama, I think you said that Maria was heading up north?
Yes, going towards New York.
New York ain't too far from Philly. 2 hours. I pray, God, that folks stop rejecting you. I pray that they stop rejecting you and that they realize that that's what they're really doing. You know, Bishop Zimmerman, I got to stop. I got to stop. Bishop Zimmerman, we thank you for being with us, and we just want to give you the opportunity to offer any closing comments about tonight's broadcast or anything that you have to offer for the benefit of the listeners in the body.
I thoroughly enjoyed our definitely am honored to be a viewer and listener. The word says that if we know to do good and don't do it, it's in Ezekiel. And we don't do it, the blood is on our hands. And so, you know, the thing about it is, it really ministered to me to hear that testimony about the young man that's in prison. And we have to remember that sometimes we may be the closest thing to Jesus that some will see on this side before he cracks open that sky. And so our job is to do according to Matthew 28:19-20, go out and make disciples. He didn't ask us to do that, but he commanded us to do that. And so that's our mandate. And so we have to do that. And so my prayer is that we don't go foolishly and not do what he called us to do, whether it is for financial gain, you know, financial assistance or however our ministry roles are, because all of that, when we're in debt, we're in bondage, and it
That's
hinders
right.
our worship. And so whatever God puts our hands to do, that's what we need to do to glorify him. And so mm-hmm. I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing because it's working. It's effective for the ministry. We all have our specializations, and what God, again, what God has called you to do, do it. If it's glorifying him, do it. And so my prayers are with you, definitely, and just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I know I sound like a broken record, but keep doing it. And so.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
I'm like this. If I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you. Because we're working
right.
together with Christ. And so definitely keep being effective in the ministry. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. If one person don't get the revelation, the word of God said, if they don't receive you, you shake the dust off your feet and let it be a testimony against you, against them. And so you go on and just do.
Amen.
Because either they're going to pay now or pay later. And so you just pray that the eyes of that pastor will understand and will open, and maybe he'll come back. God will move in him and invoke him to say, I realize I made a mistake. Let me be right. Because it can happen. As long as the sky hasn't cracked, he
That's
has
right.
an opportunity. We don't take it for, shouldn't take it for granted, but as long as the sky hasn't cracked, God can move in his heart. So
mm-hmm.
that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
And as we do with anybody that comes on the PRF table, we are not selfish. We are a community here. I do want you to speak, if you don't mind, about your radio show. This thing ain't about listeners with us. This is about the kingdom. So however God can get the glory and people can be helped, that's what we promote. So if you would like to, we give you that opportunity to talk about your radio show and when it airs, if you so desire.
Amen. My blog talk is Kingdom Today. It's every 2 weeks. I usually post it on my Facebook page. Tonight you were just a part of a pilot project I was doing just to have general discussion. But I have a blog talk that is on every 2 weeks, and I have various speakers on. Sometimes I may just do a discussion on it every 2 weeks. We talk about everything that's happening in the kingdom. And it's every other Tuesday, every 2 weeks, at 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30. Today I just did a phone conference. The Lord just told me to do one about submission.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dirty word. And so that's what we were doing today outside of Kingdom Today. I did that on my conference line just to invoke a dialogue and to see where the Lord wants me to go with that. Sometimes I do prayer line. Sometimes we do Bible study, different things on my conference call line. And that one is just to prompt some more viewers in and just engage in dialogue, because I believe that we need to have more discussions. Many people are not privy to go out to different churches or ministries or Bible studies as much as they want to because of work schedules. So I try to do things that are creative to promote Jesus Christ and the kingdom to as many people as possible. So, but Kingdom Today is every 2 weeks at 6:30 to 7:30. We just had one of broadcast this past Tuesday, so it'll be another 2 weeks. And if you look on my page, it's Bishop Kelly Zimmerman. It will be on. I usually try to have it up at least a week before the next showing is, so that you'll be able to see it. And I usually have it on Twitter and Instagram as well.
Amen, amen. Well, we
definitely
say thank you. My voice is starting to go. But we definitely say thank you for being with us. And I encourage all of our listeners here at PRF to to get the fullness of what God has for us. I tell everybody, if you're listening tonight or if you're listening to this show via the archives and you're not listening by chance, there is something that God has for you. And so it may have been that you had to listen to this whole hour and 35 minutes just to get that last piece from Bishop Zimmerman, because there's something that you need to hear on her show. Listen, we don't care about all that stuff. I told you that before. This is kingdom stuff. This is not religious stuff. So however God needs to get through to you, that's what we desire. And so, Brother Mark.
Brother Mark, you, when okay. I was making my little statement, you came very strong in talking about no excuse. So would you continue to comment on that? That's just in my spirit.
When you say, well, what?
No excuse.
No, it's no excuse. I'll say this, and I'll leave it at this. The Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God is speaking very strongly through your book. The Spirit of God is speaking through your spirit, right, the reason that you're reaching out to other people, and it brings me to a scripture where there were 10 lepers that were standing out, and Jesus spoke to them and told them to go show the priest. And you all know the story. As they went to show the priest, as they began to be healed. So this is the question that I leave you with tonight. What has God spoken in your life, and you've yet to move? Don't you know your deliverance is in your direction?
Amen.
Wow. Amen.
With that, we say God bless you. May God keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. May you do all that God is requiring of you. May you give the love of Jesus Christ to somebody who does not go to church between now and Sunday. May you be like the two apostles versus everybody else that walked past the one on their way into the temple to praise and do worship at the ninth hour. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus, because not only is he watching, everybody else is watching. God bless you on behalf of myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. Mama, Shatara Sherwood in her absence, Adia Sanders in her absence, Brother Feaster in his long absence. Those are the people that are primarily a part of the PRF table, and also the newest additions, Evangelist Moore, Kimberly Silas, and also our prayer warrior, Ernestine Smith. Ernestine is a powerhouse when it comes to praying for those who bring things to us as a ministry. And so we have added a new addition as far as communication, because I realized over the years everybody doesn't want to talk to Dr. Dunlap. So we have another email as a contact that you can reach out to us on, and it is simply this: it's prayer@prfministry.org, and Minister Ernestine Smith is going to be the one, or is the one, who will be primarily receiving those emails. And I can tell you with all certainty, you do not have anything to worry about confidentiality when it comes to sending your prayer request. Just like that email that I just wrote, I didn't read it word for word. I read it by omitting certain pieces of information to make sure that individual's identity was protected. And that's how we do things. We do things decent and in order. On the 29th, of September, as an announcement, Your Health is Your Wealth will be aired on Friday at 2 p.m. You know, that is the newest show that we have here on the PRF table, where Kimberly Silas of Atlanta, Georgia, just really goes in and tries to help people with their consciousness, and showing them how Your health is connected to your wealth. So we ask you to tune in to her every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. However, the show for last Friday, September the 15th, did not happen because she was still recovering from the damage that happened in her community with the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. And so, again, if you need to reach out to us, you can reach me at Dunlap, D-U-N-L-A-P, at prfministry.org. You can reach out to us at admin, A-D-M-I-N, at prfministry.org for anything administrative. Or you can call us at 267-437-7999. We look forward to being with you next week here on the PRF table. And we pray that God's blessings be upon you until we meet again. God bless you and have a wonderful evening.